You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Well, 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 welcome, well-doers and well-wishers and wellies. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 245, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen. And we are your gleeful, glowing, and glamorous glandular gladiators.
I'm Colin.
And I'm Chris.
Welcome, everybody. It is a new season, spring 2023.
We made it through another new year.
And happy 11th birthday to us since episode one of this very show. Listeners, you might not hear the difference, but there is a very, very big difference, even though we're recording this remotely.
And have been for a while, but
We were kind of within 10 miles of each other, but now I am way more than 10 miles. I am now located in Washington State, Emerald City, Seattle.
It's really hard to believe. I still feel like we're all together here in California.
You're such a Berkeley person.
Today is day 5 in Seattle for me. We don't have any of our stuff because our movers got delayed. I ate cereal out of a collapsible dog bowl. That shows you how dire things are. But show must go on. At least I have my mic, my computer, and I got my buzzer. I brought it with me. Time for our first general trivia segment. Pop quiz. Hot shot. All right, everybody, get out your barnyard buzzers. We're going to buzz in. So in the big event of moving, I found our old 20-pound box of two cards that a listener once mailed to me. It is so heavy. I have these cards. These cards are just from random versions of Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, these are gold.
I like that you don't have proper dishes to eat out of, but you've got the 20-pound box of Trivial Pursuit cards. That's our Karen.
We're going to do two cards today.
Oh.
And the themes are Baby Boomer Trivial Pursuit card. And we have a Trivial Pursuit Pop Culture 2. Hopefully two ends of the spectrum. We'll see.
Let's ease into things with pop culture too.
All right, here we go.
Sequel, you know,
I'm not sure it's going to be that much easier. Okay. Blue Edge for TV. What teen drama set in Capeside, Massachusetts is filmed in Wilmington, North Carolina?
Oh my gosh.
Colin with the horse buzzer.
Is that Dawson's Creek?
It is Dawson's
Creek.
All right.
I don't want to wait. Pink Wedge for Fad. What pitchman turned late night TV viewers onto the Inside the Shell Egg Scrambler?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, okay.
Chris.
I'm going to guess Ron Popeil.
Yes, it is Ron Popeil.
Okay.
So what is this Inside the Shell Egg Scrambler?
It's a device that takes the egg and it shakes it all up, and so it's completely homogenized inside of there, so then when you crack the egg it just comes out as like looking like egg beaters, basically.
Oh,
all right, okay.
It like a solution in search of a problem.
Exactly
in the biggest way.
Yellow Wedge for Buzz. What U.S. presidential candidate slapped the slogan "Yes, America can" on a campaign bus manufactured in Canada?
Okay. U.S. presidential candidate, is that what it said?
Yes, U.S. Yeah. presidential candidate slapped the slogan "Yes, America can" on a campaign bus manufactured in Canada. Chris.
Who knows? Michael Dukakis.
Incorrect.
Not a bad guess.
Colin.
Ross Perot.
It is actually a candidate turned president. It is George W. Bush.
All right. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, this is dirty. We are a family show. It's suggestive. Let me just say
it's Trivial Pursuit. How dirty can
it be? It is. Okay, I mean, they have their guardrails. All right. Purple Wedge for Music. What British metal band gave the world albums titled Point of Entry, Ram It Down, and Jugulator?
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
I'm scandalized.
British metal. If you can name one, Colin.
Judas Priest.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
All right, Green Wedge for movies. What film gave Mark Wahlberg a chance to bark the line, "Shut up, that goes for all species"?
Oh my gosh.
Was it Ted? Is that the teddy bear one?
Okay. No. It's not We Bought a Zoo.
Oh, you're going to kick yourself. It is.
Oh man.
Planet of the Apes.
Right.
Okay, I'm thinking more cute and cuddly
actual animals. Right. Yeah. All right, last question, S&G Sports and Games, I'm guessing. What auto team took Formula One's first back-to-back titles in 48 years when Michael Schumacher won the crown in 2001? Colin.
Ferrari.
Correct, Ferrari. Yeah,
all right. Ferrari. That was one of those I could name a Formula One team. So
that's, meanwhile, I'm literally sitting over here like a car's got teams. I don't know.
Lightning McQueen.
Right. I'm just picturing like a relay race now, you know?
Oh, they have races for cars now.
The baton, yeah.
All right. Well, get ready. Here is a special bonus pop quiz hot shot for today. Baby Boomer edition.
Chris is going to run this.
I'm so old. Let's go.
Okay. TV. What symbol found on a typewriter was the graphic trademark of The Mike Douglas Show?
Oh my gosh.
Wow. I'm looking at my keyboard here.
Again,
yeah, it's got to be one of these.
Correct is one of them. What symbol found on a typewriter was the graphic trademark of The Mike Douglas Show? Chris.
Asterix.
Correct.
Wow. Ah, yes. I don't know why.
You're booming it. SS, social studies, maybe. Okay. Silver screen.
Mm. Okay.
What Broadway success featured the characters Rebecca Nurse, John Proctor, Abigail, and a judge named Danforth?
Oh.
Whoa, do you guys both know?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Middle school. Okay.
It's the Crucible. By Sir Arthur Miller. Yep. The
Crucible.
He's a sir?
I don't know, maybe.
Yellow Wedge. Really good job so far. How many years in prison was James Earl Ray sentenced to in 1969? Chris.
20.
Incorrect.
I mean, it's got to be, 75. I don't know.
100.
99.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Tan Wedge for publications. What co-founder of the National Organization for Women wrote a magazine piece on the pill called The Moral Disarmament of Betty Coed? That is Chris.
If it's not Gloria Steinem, I don't know who it is.
It is Gloria Steinem. Correct. Yes. Green Wedge literature. Is Pat Boone any relation to frontiersman Daniel Boone? Let's each say an answer.
All right.
I will say yes. Otherwise, it's a who cares question.
I will also say yes, just because of the whole, like, you know, you go back far enough, somebody will have so many descendants.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this person's my great, great, great grandfather.
11th cousin.
You and all these other people. So I'm going to say any relation. I'm going to say yes, definitely.
You guys are both correct. It is yes, they are related. Last question, RPM, which I think is a record question. Who struck big with italics, a white sport coat and a pink carnation in 1957?
Oh my gosh. I've heard this.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation.
Is it Pat Boone? I'm not going to be lucky enough for it to be Pat Boone, huh? You know what? I don't think we're going to run this one, but I mean...
Go for it.
Frank Sinatra.
It is Marty Robbins.
Okay. All right. Well... Okay, Boomer.
All right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, good job, everybody.
Yeah.
That was good.
All right. Today's episode is 245. Usually in an episode of Good Job Brain, we have themes and we have topics for each episode, and we come up with our own quizzes or segments or cool facts around that theme. But every fifth episode, it's kind of a free-for-all. We have no theme and it's all quizzes. We've all prepared challenges to stump each other and stump you guys, listeners. So today it is all quiz number 49. Hey.
Okay, let me get us all started off with a fun one. Very Good Job Brainy type quiz. It's titled, Colin always has titles for his quizzes, so I feel like I should have a title for this one. I'm titling this quiz Super Sugar Anything. So I don't know if we ever told this story on the podcast before, but I just love this line now as a parent. I want to tell I'll tell this story again as I remember it, is that there was a cereal that is now known as Golden Crisp, but back in the day it was known as Super Sugar Crisp. And they'd advertised this on television, and Colin and his sister saw the commercial for Super Sugar Crisp, and they're like, oh my God, and ran to their mom and said, Mom, can you get a Super Sugar Crisp? And she immediately responded, I'm not getting you Super Sugar anything.
You got it. That's right.
Which, as a dad now, I think that's such a perfect, you know, turnaround. And of course, a lot of parents eventually sort of came to realize that they did not want Super Sugar anything. And so the names of these things, first it changed to just regular Sugar Crisp, just trying to let people know that they maybe toned it down a little bit.
Let's step it down.
And then finally to Golden Crisp. But so many cereals at this time did a similar thing because, Sugar Chex, Sugar Pops are now Corn Pops. Famously, Sugar Frosted Flakes are now just called Frosted Flakes, but are now known as Honey Smacks. Used to be Sugar Smacks. There was this whole thing where everything was sugar cereal. And so that alone does not a quiz make, but I wanted, this inspired me to talk about products that changed their name at some point during their life cycle. So it's a simple quiz. Grab your barnyard buzzers. And get ready to buzz into the answers to some of these questions about products that were known by something and were now known by something else.
Okay.
Which is the one I wanted to start with. Okay, here we go. It's a great one. This hygiene product was originally known as Baby Gaze.
Oh.
Colin.
That is Q-tips, I believe.
That is the humble Q-tip, yes.
It's called...
It was originally known as Baby Gaze. G-A-Y-S.
Oh, I thought I meant like a baby gazing, like staring at you.
No, not the male gaze. The baby gaze. They changed it to Q-tips. The Q stands for quality. So when you're shoving those in your ear, know that you're shoving quality in there. Question number two. This popular beverage, advertised as a relief for dyspepsia, was originally known as Brad's Drink. That was Karen first.
Pepsi Cola.
It was invented in 1893 by Caleb Bradham, who I guess was known to his friends as Brad. He called it Brad's Drink.
Can
you imagine? It sounds like something that a college freshman makes for you at a party that you definitely don't want to drink, you know?
What's in it?
Yeah, Everclear and NyQuil. It's Brad's Drink. It was advertised really for upset stomach indigestion, which was that time was popularly known as dyspepsia. And so then he changed it to Pepsi. So a few years later in the 1920s, a guy named Edwin Perkins produced a liquid concentrate that he called Fruit Smack. And then he was able to figure out a way to remove the liquid from this concentrate, leaving only a fine powder, which he called this.
Fruit Smack. Oh,
Karen?
Fun Dip?
It's not Fun Dip. It's not Fun Dip, Colin.
Is it Kool-Aid?
It is Kool-Aid. Oh. It is Kool-Aid, which originally was spelled Kool-Aid, like A-D-E, as in like, you know, lemonade, but it's now spelled A-I-D, like Band-Aid. I don't know why.
Yeah, interesting.
Beats me.
Yeah, that makes sure less sense.
Question four. The Whammo Company originally called this invention a Pluto platter. Colin?
That has got to be the Frisbee.
It is the Frisbee. Mm. It is the Frisbee. It's interesting because, I mean, everybody agrees that there was that pie company in Massachusetts Pie Company.
Yeah.
But like what people seem to think happened is that they created like the plastic flying disc, you know? They called it the Pluto platter, but then the kids in that area called it a Frisbee.
Because it looked like a pie.
Because of the game of throwing the pie pans around. And then they renamed it to Frisbee. But yeah, the Pluto platter originally. How about that?
Poo-poo platter.
The poo-poo platter. Question five. This breakfast food was originally known as the portmanteau word froffles.
I'm sorry.
Maybe it didn't, just in case you didn't hear me. This breakfast food was originally known by the portmanteau word froffles.
Froffles.
Oh.
What'd you think I said?
Like frothing.
froffles. Froffles.
Eggo.
It's Eggo. It's Eggo. So the Eggo was originally a mayonnaise that this company made. They called it Eggo because they put so many eggs in it. But then that was just their very popular brand name, like generally for the company. So they bring out Eggo. They called them Froffles, the portmanteau of frozen waffles. Froffles!
From the makers of Eggo.
Yeah, from the makers of Eggo, the eggiest mayo. And then they just started calling those Eggo brand waffles also because Eggo just became very popular, strong branding. Yep.
You know what? Chris, you have just scratched an itch that I didn't know that I've had for like 30 years.
Oh, like.
Why is it called Eggo? I just always assumed like, I don't know, maybe they were the first one to use egg or something. I don't know. I never
bothered. Right.
That is actually so satisfying.
I need to check if there are indeed eggs.
Or are there eggs in Eggo?
Yeah.
I mean, even if they are, it wouldn't make them special.
It does say it contains wheat, milk, egg, and soy ingredients.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Next question. Question number six. Rather than give you the original name, I'm just going to see if you know this one. By what name were Cheerios originally
at? Oh.
Oh, I've read this before.
I don't know.
I'm going to be so angry when you say it.
We can brainstorm this, Colin. Yeah. I wonder if it's like a really boring name or if it's like a too outrageous name.
Oh, well, they're made with oats. We know that.
Cheery oats.
Oh, cheery oats. That's good, Karen. I like that.
It is cheery oats. Well done. They were originally known as cheery oats. Yep. I think that after a few years, they were just like, Cheerios sounds better. Yeah.
Also, they're in O's.
They're in the shape of an O. It's true. Next question. This well-known web services provider was originally known as Jerry and David's Guide to the World Wide Web.
Oh, okay.
Aaron.
Jerry Yang, Yahoo.
Yes, Yahoo. It is Yahoo. Sticking with tech companies, what tech company's main product was originally known as Back Rub for the way it analyzed backlinks?
Oh, what?
Colin?
Google.
Yes. Sorry, I guess the company isn't called Google anymore, but the
product, Alphabet. Yeah, right.
Google,
yeah.
The original name of the Google search engine was Backrub. Because of its innovative way of ranking websites by the websites that linked back to them or back.
Right.
Linked.
Interesting. So
they called it Backrub. That did not stick around very long.
Sounds creepy. Yeah.
Yep. And this is, and not creepy in the sort of like it was 1923 kind of way, and creepy in the sort of like it was the 90s kind of way. Like somebody should have known better.
So
here's another question for you. What brand switched names in 2021 and is now called Pearl Milling Company? Famous brand switched its name in 2021, now called Pearl Milling Company. Karen.
Uncle Ben.
You're close.
Aunt Jemima?
It is Aunt Jemima. It is, yeah. Aunt Jemima. I believe they're changing the name of Uncle Ben's also, and that may be coming up. But yes, Aunt Jemima, the character, is being retired, and it's now called Pearl Milling Company. That was actually the name of the original company that came up with the Aunt Jemima brand in the first place. All right, here's one for you. These three young ladies were originally known as the Whoop-Ass Girls. This fictional characters.
Oh.
Originally known as the Whoop-Ass Girls. Colin?
Is it the Powerpuff Girls?
It is the Powerpuff Girls. In the original, like, animated short that was done, they were the Whoop-Ass Girls. And when they decided, oh, we're going to make this into a TV show for children, that name did not exactly fly.
Oh, was it originally not for children?
Because it was originally done by a CalArts student. Mm-mm. And it's like it was the same sort of backstory as, like, they were being created in a lab, but then he added, and this makes so much more sense now, he added a can of whoop-ass when the scientist made them. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. Yes. A couple of questions left for you guys. Bib Label Lithiated Lemon Lime Soda was the original mouthful of a name for this product. Colin?
The lithiated just made a light go off. Is that 7-Up? I feel like
it is 7-Up.
Oh,
used to have lithium in it.
Hey, sure. You know, not everything can have cocaine in it. You gotta moderate the cocaine with a little lithium from time.
If you're gonna make a carbonated drink and it's the 1800s, you have to put some drug in it. But it's gotta be a drug that somebody else isn't using. Exactly. Yep. Okay. Fans of this candy bar in the United Kingdom were outraged when they changed its name to match the U.S. version, which is called Snickers. Karen.
Marathon.
Oh.
Karen knows her foreign candy back to front.
So which one came first? Was, like, Snickers first and then introduced as Marathon? Or?
I believe that Snickers came Snickers first because it was only in the U.K. that it was called Marathon. Huh. Please don't write to me if... It was in other country as well, but generally it was United Kingdom.
I wonder if it was like a cop, like they couldn't get the name.
Maybe.
Or maybe it sounded too much like Knickers.
Right, that's true.
And it was like all about like, oh, this is a candy bar for energy.
It's marathon. Yeah, because it has those peanuts. That's what makes it different than the Milky Way.
Yeah.
Doesn't do a thing
Crap.
For you.
Yeah.
But you eat the Snickers with the three peanuts in there. And those
fill you up.
More outrage in the United Kingdom when this product's name was changed to I Can't Believe It's So Good for Everything.
I can't believe it's not butter.
What if it's just butter?
All right, nobody is buzzed in.
Oh, sorry, sorry. Yeah, you're right. I have not committed. We're just in shock of the, I'm going to say, I can't believe it's not butter. Grudgingly.
Yes, they did not change the name of butter, but they did change the name of I Can't Believe It's Not Butter to I Can't Believe It's So Good for Everything.
Was this like a temporary like marketing blitz or something?
No, it was intended to be an absolutely was going to be a permanent change.
Oh my gosh.
But it was so reviled that they changed it back. All right. One more question. If I was a time traveler from 1870 and I asked you to please go to the general store and pick me up a container of Wonder Jelly, with what product would you want to return from the store with?
Oh.
Karen.
Vaseline.
Vaseline, yes. Well done. Originally known as Wonder Jelly. Did you know that?
Yeah. Wonder Jelly is confusing because it also sounds like a food.
Right. It does sound like something you would put on, you put it on Wonder Bread, you know?
Yeah.
Some Wonder Bread with Wonder Jelly.
Oh my God.
Yep. And then it's like, I wonder why I'm in the hospital.
Year by year, the dad jokes just get stronger.
It's exponential. Yeah, they're too powerful.
I can't hold hold it off any longer.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Woo. Well, Colin, you have a special quiz.
I do. And you know my trademark phrase is, I had a lot of fun putting this quiz together. and I really did. I am never lying to you both. But there is a very special twist on this quiz that I put together. I had some help from a computerized friend, and I am not referring to Elvis. This is not a music quiz. For the first time in our show's history, I got some help from a chat bot. And specifically, of course, you guys can probably see where I'm going at this point. I got some help from ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. The listeners at this point are probably having one of three reactions, which is, oh, cool, another ChatGPT story. I love these. Or, oh, man, another ChatGPT story. I don't know. Or, I have no idea what you're talking about. What is a ChatGPT? What do you guys want to give like a thumbnail description here? How would you describe it to somebody who has never heard of ChatGPT?
In the most basic terms, there's a bot that pretty much is trained to generate writing, and it learned from so many sources: books, code, movie scripts, songs,
the internet. One of the great, like, novel kind of breakthrough fun uses, certainly if you're anywhere in social media, is, you know, give me this in the style of that.
And
it's seemingly endless combinations, and it is game. Like, if you ask it to read the Constitution, you know, in the style of Jar Jar Binks, it will absolutely, it is up for it. It will do it for you.
I saw it pass the bar.
Right, yes.
So I decided to work with my colleague, ChatGPT.
Your intern.
Yeah, to assemble a quiz for our show. I felt like I was its editor. And Chris, I know you've been an editor, you've been edited, and I tried to take the stance that the editor's job is to make the writer look good. Every word that you hear of this quiz I'm about to present was generated by ChatGPT. I did not rewrite. Whoa. I did not copy edit. All I did was I asked it leading questions, and I tried to sort of engage in a dialogue with it. I ran into some really interesting twists along the way. So I have a 10-question quiz. Here is the original prompt that I typed into ChatGPT.
Okay. All right.
This is the prompt, word for word. Create a 10-question trivia quiz about famous depictions of AI in movies, comics, literature, or on television. The questions should be moderately difficult, but not beyond the reach of someone well-versed in pop culture. That was the prompt.
Wow. That's good. Okay. Specific. Okay.
The grim joke maybe is that, you know, our jobs are not going to be replaced, but just our jobs are now going to become writing prompts for the AI. It generated 10 questions very quickly. I have to say it did a great job. I did have to tweak. I had to work with it on about half the questions,
but just
to help it avoid ambiguity or maybe a slight kind of correction, but it did a fantastic job. So here we go. We're going to dive into a quiz. Get your barnyard buzzers ready.
Hold on.
Yes.
It didn't give you the answers, though.
So I asked it to generate the questions, and it did. Gave me 10 questions, and I'm like, oh, these are really good. And I was like, oh, wait, can you also please provide the answers? And it did not, and didn't give me the answers the first time. So I had to ask it a second question.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Once I did that, it caught on. And so in subsequent revisions of the questions, it would provide the answer with the question. I didn't have to tell it to do that again.
Okay, another question.
Yeah.
Are the answers that it provided correct? Do you know what I mean? Like, did you have to double check if, you know, are we trying to guess what the answer that the bot is giving?
I worked with it to make it a good quiz. So, I'll follow up with you guys after the quiz and give you some of the little interesting points here in my collaboration.
Okay. Woo!
10-question trivia quiz. Okay. Famous depictions of AI, movies, comics, literature, and television. Here we go. Get your barnyard buzzers ready. Number one. In the 1982 film Blade Runner, what was the name of one of the sentient androids or replicants?
Oh, geez.
Karen.
Rachel.
I will accept Rachel. Yes, that's right. Yes. Chris, do you want to name another one here?
Roy Batty.
There you go, Roy Batty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, Priz. Yep, yep. Also accept Leon Kowalski.
And of course, you'd have to accept Deckard, right?
Director's cut.
I asked ChatGPT. I said, and Zora, of course. I asked ChatGPT. I said, was Deckard a replicant? And here's what it said. The question of Deckard's own identity and whether or not he is a replicant himself is the central theme and point of ambiguity in the film. Number two, who portrayed the android character Bishop in the 1986 film Aliens?
No. I'm thinking of the later sequels, which was Michael Fassbender, but this is the original.
Right. Well, this is the right, the middle one, right? Yeah, not Ash. This is Bishop, right? It was actor. I'll read them exactly as written. The android character Bishop was portrayed by actor Lance Henriksen. The answer is also written by ChatGPT here. I did not edit these. All right, number three, in the movie The Terminator, what was the name of the AI system that became self-aware and attempted to exterminate humanity? everybody.
Skynet.
Skynet. The AI system in The Terminator that became self-aware and attempted to exterminate humanity was named Skynet. Correct.
Okay, just as long as ChatGPT didn't add hashtag goals after that answer, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's not emoji aware yet, at least in my
It could do chat. Emojis.
Yeah, as soon as I said that, I was like, I bet if I asked it to, it would have
you
done
can
emojis.
Prompt it. Yeah.
Sure, of course. Of course I could. Of course. Dude, give me Jar Jar Binks's monologue in the style of emoji. Number four, what was the name of the robot in the film Short Circuit?
Oh!
Ooh, close, but I think Chris there. I'm going to give that one to Chris.
Johnny Five.
The robot in Short Circuit was named Johnny Five. Correct.
Who's Johnny?
She's number five. And I had to work with it on this question a little bit. We'll come back to this one. But number five, here's the final result. Who wrote the novel I, Robot? And what was the name of the detective who solved crimes with the help of a robot in the book?
That is two questions, ChatGPT.
Yeah, okay. I like how it kind of
improvised. It combined it. It gave you a two-parter.
It on its own generated a two-parter, which I thought was interesting.
This is something we actually do, which is we would ask a question that is kind of easy to get, and then you follow it up with a more deep-cut one, which is
that's
very
how
human.
I interpret that's, it. That's exactly how I interpret it.
The answer is Isaac Asimov and Will Smith.
Okay, here's what ChatGPT said. Isaac Asimov and Detective Elijah Bailey. So now the Will Smith movie is very extremely loosely loosely based. It really has almost no connection to the book other
except
than
for
just
the title.
Maybe generally the title and some general themes. But yeah. So now here's what's interesting. When ChatGPT first asked me the question, the answer was Detective Del Spooner. Now, which was the name of the Will Smith character in the movie. So I had to work with ChatGPT to kind of arrive at the correct answer. So here's what I said. I said to ChatGPT, I typed back, I think Del Spooner was a character in the movie iRobot and not a character in the book of the same name. Do you agree? I'm really trying to engage in a Socratic method here with ChatGPT. And so it said immediately, yes, you are correct. Del Spooner is a character in the 2004 film iRobot, which was based on Isaac Asimov's science fiction series. Spooner is portrayed by Will Smith, et cetera, et cetera. The original Isaac Asimov book features different characters and does not include Spooner. I apologize for the mistake in the previous answer.
It's polite.
Number six. In the comic book series The Transformers, what was the name of the evil artificial intelligence that led the Decepticons?
Oh.
Ooh.
Comic book.
Oh, geez.
Give it a little bit of leeway here. Give it a little bit of leeway on this one.
Sure. I mean, it could be just the antagonist of the...
Megatron?
There you go. It's looking for Megatron. Yeah. The evil artificial intelligence that led the Decepticons in the comic book series, The Transformers, was named Megatron.
I see.
And so here's an interesting where it got tripped up a little bit that it's true that there was a Transformers comic book series, but the way it's phrased, it's almost as if it's ignorant that when you say the Transformers, almost all of us are going to think of either or both the TV series or the movie, you know, our minds are not going to go to the comic book first. Number seven, in the series Star Trek: The Next Generation, what was the name of the sentient artificial intelligence who served as a key member of the crew on the USS Enterprise D? Everyone together.
Data.
That's Data. A lengthy question.
That is a very lengthy question, and I had to work with that one a little bit. Its first formulation of the question was, in the series Star Trek Next Generation, what was the name of the sentient artificial intelligence that controlled the USS Enterprise D?
Oh.
And so I had to work with it. I'm like, what was Data's role? I'm like, would you say it's fair to say that Data controlled the USS Enterprise D?
You're actually a computer is what you're doing. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What a life.
I wanted to work with it like it was a person. And like, if this was a person that I had hired to write a quiz, this is how I would do it. Number eight. Who wrote the novel, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, that was later adapted into the film Blade Runner? Yeah. Chris on the
buzzer there. Starring Harrison
Ford. Yes, exactly.
Philip K. Dick.
The novel, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, was written by Philip K. Dick. Yes, good old PKD. Number nine. What was the name of the AI system in the film War Games?
Oh!
This is a good one. This is a good trivia question.
Yeah.
It's five letters.
It's four letters.
Four letters.
It is an acronym. The AI system in the film War Games was named Whopper. W-O-P-R. Whopper. I asked ChatGPT. I said, what does Whopper stand for? War Operation Plan Response. All right, last one. Number 10. In the 1978 television series Battlestar Galactica,
yes.
What was the name of the artificial intelligence that controlled the robotic Cylons?
Oh, Chris, do you remember? I wonder if it's in the new series, too.
It's not. It's not.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
No, we don't know.
It's subtly different. Right. It is. And I had to work with ChatGPT on this one a little bit. It is. The Imperious Leader. Leader.
Oh. And
so I had to work with that one a little bit because the first question that it asked me was, in the series Battlestar Galactica, what was the name? And so right off the bat, I'm like, that's bad trivia question because any trivia nerd worth their salt is going, which there's two series, please. So what did I say to it? I said,
hey, idiot. You messed up.
I said, there have been two Battlestar Galactica series. Perhaps question 10 could be rewritten to be less ambiguous? And it said, certainly. Here's a revised version of question 10. All in all, I was extremely impressed. I don't think it's going to put us out of a job just yet, but I think it might make our lives easier in some ways.
Woo! Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to Good Job Brain. Smooth puzzles, smart trivia. Good job, brain.
So my turn. It was quite the adventure to move up here. So we drove north of California through Oregon and into Washington.
It's a beautiful
and
drive.
I got to see snow. I got to see slowly, you know, kind of the gradient getting into the Pacific Northwest, the PNW, very atmospheric, very moody. There's forest, there's city, there's rain, there's fog, there's snow. And so I have prepared a quiz, a write down quiz here, about movies and TV shows set in the Pacific Northwest.
All right.
It is because of atmospheric moodiness of this region that really kind of sets the scene and paints the picture for a lot of stories. So yes, 10 questions here featuring some of Colin's real life friends in this quiz, and you'll see what I mean.
All right.
Yeah, we got forests, we got beaches, we got port cities, we got shipyards. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Quiz number one. Netflix debuted and then canceled one season of a comedy show starring Colin's childhood friend, Randall Park. The titular subject of the show is actually located in Bend, Oregon. What is the name of this show?
Oh.
I'll read it again as you guys are writing it down. Netflix debuted and then canceled one season of a comedy show starring Colin's childhood friend, Randall Park. High school friend. Childhood, yeah.
Hey, the titular subject. Sixth grade through high school.
Yeah. The titular subject of this show is actually located in Bend, Oregon. What is the name of this show? Answers up, please. Chris put Blockbuster, and Colin said Blockbuster Video. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
There's another Blockbuster that closed down. I think it was in Alaska. So that was...
I heard about that one.
So that one closing down and another one in Australia closing down makes this one in Bend, Oregon, the last one.
And people make pilgrimages there, right? I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
Anytime you take a trip or you're visiting somewhere new, listeners and Chris and Colin, go on Atlas Obscura. It tells you like weird landmarks that's around you.
Yeah.
Like the tree that owns itself, you know, like weird things or the biggest yo-yo and stuff. And so I saw this one in Atlas Obscura. All right. Number two, in this rom-com, the main characters don't meet until the last 2 minutes of the film.
Oh.
In what rom-com the main characters don't meet until the last 2 minutes of the film? Again, these are movies and TV set in the Pacific Northwest. All right, answers up, please. Chris says Sleepless in Seattle. Colin says Sleepless in Seattle. Correct. It is Sleepless in Seattle. Very interesting for rom-coms, what they call a meet cute. And the whole premise of this movie is their meet cute doesn't even happen until the very end of the movie.
I'm not sure I have ever seen Sleepless in Seattle.
Classic.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah. I mean, not like I have anything against it. I just never happened to just have my world align correctly to see it.
Ooh, it's very good. All right, here we go. We pass by this in person. The Timberline Lodge, located in Mount Hood, Oregon, is a real-life hotel that served as the exterior of what infamous snowy fake movie hotel? Once again, the Timberline Lodge in Mount Hood, Oregon, is a real-life functioning hotel.
Oh, of course.
That served as the exterior of what infamous snowy fake movie hotel?
Sorry, you need the name of the hotel?
Name of the hotel, please.
Oh, Chris has it. Chris has it, yeah.
The Overlook Hotel.
Outlook.
The Microsoft Outlook yes. Hotel. Correct. Overlook Hotel from the famous Stephen King story-turned movie, The Shining. Number four. Despite prominently showing Seattle's Space Needle from a window, what TV show that's set in Seattle only had one episode actually filmed in Seattle? Despite prominently showing Seattle's Space Needle from a window, what TV show that's set in Seattle only actually had one episode technically filmed in Seattle?
Answers
up. Chris put Frasier. Colin put Frasier. Correct. It is Frasier. Everything else was, the whole show was filmed in L.A.
Yep.
In a studio. Number five, one of the biggest divides in the 2000s is whether you're on Team Edward or Team Jacob from the Twilight series, famously set in Washington State. Edward is played by Robert Pattinson in the Twilight movies. What actor played Jacob?
What's this guy's name? Oh, man.
One of the biggest divides in the 2000s is whether you're on Team Edward or Team Jacob from the Twilight series, famously set in Washington State. Edward is played by Batman, Robert Pattinson. What actor played Jacob? All right, answers up. Woo, you guys. Chris Putt, Mr. Dawson, last name Creek. Colin has the correct answer. It is Taylor Lautner.
Wow.
That's why we're a team, folks. Why we're a team.
Fun fact, Taylor Lautner dated Taylor Swift. So you had two Taylors. Another fun fact, Taylor Lautner's wife is also named Taylor. And she took on his last name after they got married. So they are both Taylor Lautners.
Brilliant.
Was it Dana who called him Little Wolf Boy? Little Wolf Boy. Yeah.
Number six. Recently, actually, I think just a couple weeks ago, an entrepreneur from Kansas City bought the famous Goonies house in Astoria, Oregon. The Goonies is what the gang of kids call themselves in the movie. How many actors from the Goonies gang have earned Academy Award nominations in their careers? The film Goonies, namesake for the gang of kids in the film. How many actors from the Goonies gang have earned Academy Award nominations in their careers? Also starring another one of Colin's real life acquaintances, Jeff Cohen, who went to, you guys were in the same dorm, right, Colin?
We were neighbors in the dorms. That's right. Yeah. At Cal. That's right.
If you want a quick refresh, the Goonies gang, two ladies, Andy and Martha Plimpton. And then we got Thanos. Josh Brolin was the older brother, Brand, of course, starring Sean Astin, the main character. And then we have Corey Feldman as Mouth and Jonathan Kee Kwan, who's now as Ki-Hui Kwan, as Data. Am I missing anybody? Who else is there? Mouth. And Chunk. Okay, Chris says the number four.
Wow, okay.
I mean, Ki-Hui Kwan absolutely got nominated. Right. I figure Sean Astin probably got nominated for something at some point. Josh Brolin probably got nominated for something at some point.
Colin is correct with three.
Really?
We have Ki-Hui Kwan, of course. And then we have Josh Brolin nominated for Milk.
Okay.
And then Astin, not for Lord of the Rings, but actually for, he directed a short in 1994 called Kangaroo Court. And he got nominated for Best Short. All right. Number seven, Miranda Cosgrove stars as the titular character of what TV show about a teenager with her own web show set in Seattle? Miranda Cosgrove. If you want a little hint on who that is, she played Summer in School of Rock. All right, answers up. Chris put iCarly. Colin put iCarly. You are both correct. It is iCarly.
Hey. They brought it back recently, right?
Well, I knew it wasn't Dog with the Blog, so I figured it's the...
I love Dog with the Blog. That was on the Disney Channel.
Yeah. He got into blogging at the right time. You know what
I mean? He did. Yeah. He really did.
You could make a lot of money doing that.
He's into crypto now.
Dogecoin. Okay, number 8, Kat dreams of attending Sarah Lawrence College instead of going to University of Washington like her dad in the film 10 Things I Hate About You, which is based on what classic literary work?
Oh.
Kat yeah. dreams Hi, of Regina. Attending Sarah Lawrence College instead
shouting
of going...
out my, I'm just shouting out my wife, who, if I got this question wrong, would... physically murder me and dump my body in a shower.
Hey, all right. Well, I've never seen this one.
What?
So...
It's one. It's yeah, a good one.
It actually is.
I know it has a good reputation.
Yep. Answers up. Chris Putt.
Boom. Wow.
Taming of the Shrew and Colin Guest Taming of the Shrew. You are correct.
Great movie. Great movie.
Isn't it weird to think that Heath Ledger and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who are both in that movie, went on being in Christopher Nolan Batman movies.
Yeah.
All right. Number 9. What 1987 comedy about amnesia got a gender-swapped remake in 2018?
Wow.
What 1987 comedy about amnesia, I would say romantic comedy, rom-com about amnesia, got a gender-swapped remake in 2018? The original was set in fictional Elk Grove, Oregon, and the remake was set in Seattle. They had a lot of Seahawks stuff. I'll tell you what, Colin, I'll throw you a hint. In the remake, it starred Anna Faris. Answers up, Chris. Overboard.
Oh, yes. I got a head blank.
Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
That was one of those, like, it played on HBO all the time. All the time. You know, when I was a kid,
Oh my gosh.
All
the time. Yep. Yeah. That's one, like, in contrast to 10 Things I Hate About You or Sleepless in Seattle. Oh, I've seen Overboard a lot. Yeah.
Finally, arguably, now the most famous TV show set in Seattle, Grey's Anatomy, has been on TV for how many seasons?
Oh, God.
Closest to...
Oh, really? Okay.
Arguably now the most famous TV show set in Seattle, probably surpassing Frasier. Grey's Anatomy has been on TV for how many seasons? And it's still going.
Yeah, still going. All right, answers up. Incredible.
Chris put 15. Colin is correct with 19.
Oh, my gosh.
19 seasons.
I thought I was overshooting it a little.
Staggering.
No end in sight.
No end in sight. Crazy stuff happened on that show.
She finally left the show, right? Didn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah, Ellen Pompeo.
Ellen Pompeo, thank you. Gray, you know.
Gray.
All right, good job, everybody.
Woo!
Everybody, shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, box of oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course, you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
They've done weird things. Cat and Jethro, box of oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
Okay, I will take us on home here. I have a quiz for you guys about fabrics, textiles, cloths, all kinds of things in that family. It is called the fabrics of our lives.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right. Here we go. Get your barnyard buzzers ready. I have a variety of questions from the world of things that can be woven, created, wrapped, knit, and so forth. All right. Miranda Lambert, Hayden Panettiere, and Zooey Deschanel have all sung versions of the jingle for what fabrics trade association?
Wow.
Karen, no hesitation.
Cotton.
Is this the fabric
You got it. The fabric of our lives jingle they introduced in 1992, or slogan jingle, you know, however you want to look at it, a slogan originally.
It's pretty recent.
Yeah, you know, it feels maybe a little more timeless.
It never hit me that this isn't a brand.
You see, like, their little logo there, the cotton logo. You see it on a lot of cotton goods, and that's right. That is the slogan of Cotton Incorporated. which is yes, they're US based but global minded. They're essentially a trade association to just promote cotton, get you thinking about cotton, make wow. you want to buy cotton, wear cotton. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, moving right along. Linen. Good old linen. You can make whatever. You make some sheets, mm-hmm. make a suit out of linen, very versatile. One of the oldest and most widely used fabrics in humanity's history. Linen comes from the fibers of what plant? What plant? Chris.
Is it the linseed plant?
I'm gonna need you to press a little bit more here.
That's a real shame.
I will accept linseed. I will accept linseed. I was looking for flax, but I will accept linseed.
Oh my god. Wait, are they the same thing?
They are. That's right. And they vary. Yeah, you get a lot of stuff out of the linseed plant or flax.
You call it linseed oil, but you don't say
linseed oil. That's right. But you have like flax.
Is called linseed. Okay.
Flax. You can get flaxseed oil. Yeah. They're kind of like flaxseed oil. Kind of tends to be more for like you ingest it, and linseed oil kind of tends to be more for you use it. But they all come from the same plant. Yeah, flax. Very useful plant.
Wow.
The word itself has actually worked its way into the English language in ways that you may not even realize. So we talk about materials having, say, you know, I got a jacket that has a nice lining, right? Or we talk about this book is lined with the verb to line something with originally meant to cover with linen. In the Middle Ages, it was extremely common to use linen as an inner layer on garments and jackets against, you know, particularly heavier, rougher materials.
Wow.
All right. As parents of toddlers, which we all are, I can almost guarantee that you have in your house somewhere at least one item made of felt. What is felt?
Oh, geez.
If you wanted to make some felt, how would you go about doing it? Karen?
It is basically meshing wool fibers with no regular pattern. It's just kind of compressed and knotted fibers of wool.
Broadly correct. Yeah, you're even maybe a little more specific. It's just natural, just fibers mashed together. Yeah, wool.
Oh, it doesn't have to be wool.
It doesn't have to be wool. And in fact, yeah, these days there are a lot of, you know, natural and other natural and synthetic fiber felts that you can felt a lot of different fibers. Broadly, there's wet felting and dry felting. And wet felting is kind of the more historic classic way of doing it. Yeah, you get some wool,
like
you get some animal fibers. That's right.
Hats. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You wet it, you mash them together, and the fibers on a microscopic level, the little jagged shapes and the hooks, they interweave. And then when they dry again, it's as if it's a, you know, sort
one
of a
piece.
Uniform piece. That's yeah. right, with strength. I hope this is true because it's a great sort of history of felt kind of thing. I read that there were some peoples, in particular some nomadic peoples, where on long journeys, they would stuff wool, you know, kind of loose wool into their booties and their boots. And the action of walking between the agitation
and
the sweat from your feet turns them into socks. So it's like by the time, you know, you like at the end of your journey, you've got these like little socks that you kind of like, you know, baked in your shoes. Yeah. Another crafty hobby that I think has had a resurgence in the last few years is crocheting. What does the word crochet mean in French? Chris.
A hook.
It does. Crochet just means hook. Maybe easier to say that you're crocheting rather than you're hooking.
Sorry, I never thought of that.
We love to talk about our world's fairs on the show. One of the standout highlights of the 1939 New York World's Fair was the public debut of nylon in the form of women's nylon stockings. What household item, common household item, was the first commercial product to use nylon? It was not in a fabric form.
Toilet cleaner, like a toilet brush, or like a sponge. Oh,
you're on the right track.
Scrubby.
Yeah, maybe something with bristles, maybe.
Oh, toothbrush. Maybe.
It was a toothbrush.
Okay.
Replacing hair, you know, for bristles. I mean, that's what bristles were made out of. Paintbrushes, yeah. Toothbrushes. It was hair, you know, maybe horse hair, maybe other animal hair, but yeah. Mm-hmm. This waterproof wonder fabric, introduced in the 1970s, was made of expanded polytetrafluoroethylene, but better known by what name?
Oh.
Karen.
Is it neoprene?
Ooh, it is not.
For like scuba stuff?
It is not neoprene.
Oh. Is it rayon?
It is not rayon. This is a family company. The family's name is, in fact, in the name of this fabric. Gore-Tex.
Oh, Gore-Tex.
Oh my God, I was just going to guess. Okay. It was like a Seinfeld thing.
Oh. Gore-Tex. The Gore family. Bill and Genevieve Gore.
Oh, my God. And their son,
Bob. Yep. Bill Gore, in fact, worked at DuPont and was convinced that he could build a successful business around PTFE, the substance that I just named. And sure enough, he did. Still in business today. Gore-Tex makes good stuff. All right. Wool comes from sheep. You probably knew that. Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. You know, also alpacas, sure, camels, other animals. Merino wool comes from merino sheep. Mm-hmm. But where did merino sheep first come from? Yeah, where did a merino sheep originate? Chris.
Spain?
Yes, it was Spain. Spain. Merino, the breed of merino sheep in the Middle Ages. This was fiercely protected, like the merino sheep sort of monopoly in Spain. People were not allowed to export the sheep, like under, you know, severe penalty. Like you could theoretically be killed if they found out that you were like taking merino sheep out of Spain or letting it kind of get out into the wider world. Today, of course, there are merino sheep in many, many countries. All right, last one. Speaking of luxurious wools, cashmere wool does not come from merino sheep. It does not come from cashmere sheep. What animal does cashmere wool come from? Both of you at the same time. Let's hear it.
Llama.
Goats.
Oh, Karen's correct. It is from goat.
Oh, okay.
All right. Good job, guys.
Before we close the show out, I wanted to say on the show, because I think that maybe some of our listeners might be interested in like what I have been doing, you know, at my job, you know, for the past little while. So we had a pretty big year in 2022. At the end of 2022, video game developer that I work for, which is called Digital Eclipse, we actually had a couple of big game releases. We had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Cowabunga Collection, which collects up all the Ninja Turtles games from the 80s and the 90s. And what I do, I'm editorial director. And so all of our game compilations that we do of these classic games, they all have major like historical elements. Like we talk about the making of the games. Cowabunga Collection, we had tons of the design documents, you know, like scans of the original gaming boxes and manuals and scans of like magazine ads. Put together actually a brand new thing, which was an interactive strategy guide for the game. So if the games have secret codes and things like that, we actually put together this like digital guide that you can read. And it looks like an old school video game magazine from the 90s, but you can click on the screenshots and watch a little video of the tip. Then we had another game. It's called Atari 50, the Anniversary Celebration. And this, we really went all the way with, it's an interactive documentary. It has over 100 games in it, but the whole thing is laid out.
It's like a museum.
Yeah, that's what we tried to do. Yeah. And so like I wrote this whole like timeline of Atari history and pulled together all these like cool like digital artifacts and scans of like arcade game flyers and stuff like that. If you're interested, I mean, Atari 50, I would recommend this even if you don't really play a lot of video games. It's on like everything, you know, Nintendo Switch in the house, but also PlayStation or Xbox or, you know, Steam PC. And it really a very, very different approach to like releasing classic games. And so if you like all of the trivia on Good Job Brain, like this is really just full of interesting trivia about the early.
Yeah, I'm not being paid to say this, but yeah, to call it a game is really an underselling it. Yeah, it is. It's as Karen said, it's like a museum.
On the site Metacritic, which, you know, aggregates reviews and averages them out, they list it as the number 6 best Nintendo Switch game of 2022.
Wow.
It's a unique and different experience, Atari 50. I'm really proud of what we did. So
wow, a trivia is your job.
Yeah. That's always what I was most passionate about, you know, doing, on the media side, you know, was researching video game history and writing big features about it and stuff like that was always super fun. And so like now I'm doing that same work, but the output is a video game, you know, instead of an article.
Yeah, yeah,
and so
yeah,
that kind of super cool to me. Yeah. So check out video games.
I've been meaning to try some of these.
Have you thought
videoed of video games? Yeah.
And that's our show. And you have a free moment. Please, please, please take the listener survey from our podcast network, Airwave, because mom and dad are coming home to check up on us. We got to get these kegs out of here. And hearing what you have to say about your podcast preferences actually helps everyone out. So head on over to surveymonkey.com/r/airwave. We're excited to have another season of Good Job Brain. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned stuff about fabrics, about Pepsi Cola, and about Twilight. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on all podcast apps. And on our website, goodjobbrain.com. This podcast is part of Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other shows like Ancient History Fangirl, Who Arted, and The Secret History of Hollywood. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.